So again, we are addressing errors concerning who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, errors that were presented to the church, and now, as it says, the true doctrine having been explained, we've looked at that for a number of weeks. Now we're addressing, or at least the Synod was addressing, a couple of those errors today. Number one, paragraph 3 focuses, it noticed the word only in the whole paragraph, but that he merited, that is, Jesus merited for the Father only the authority or the perfect will to deal again with man. So Jesus didn't actually, it says there, Jesus did not satisfy divine justice. He did not save anyone. Notice that. Neither salvation itself for anyone. Christ did not merit anything per se, except simply the authority to do whatever he wanted to do. In other words, Jesus did not redeem anyone in particular. Notice the emphasis on depended on the free will of man. That was the key. That was the key point in all of the complaints that were presented at the Synod. And the answer is these are too contemptuous of the death of Christ. In other words, it's saying that Jesus's death was not that important. It basically authorized him to do something, but he didn't actually die for anyone. He didn't die for you. He died to make salvation possible is the best way you could describe it. But it's all up to you. Your salvation is based on you and you alone, ultimately. You are the final determiner. And so we have the error. And notice how they say, bringing again out of hell the Pelagian error. Pelagius taught that man was born without any sin at all, and the only sin that man commits is by imitation, but not by application of Adam's sin. And also, Pelagius said you could be saved by works. And the Arminian party, this group, in a sense, are saying the same thing here, that you are saved by your works, faith plus works. And again, that's what we have here in paragraph number 4. Notice the statement that they reject that we are justified before God and saved by faith. But notice what it says, but that God, having revoked the demand of perfect obedience of faith, that's where they erred. Where in the Bible does it say that God revoked the requirement of perfect obedience? Where did Jesus teach that? Jesus taught the opposite, didn't he? He says, be you therefore perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. That's the requirement of God. That was not revoked at any time. You still are required perfect obedience before God every moment of your existence. How are you doing on that, by the way? Is there anyone in this building? Is there anybody on this planet that is perfectly obedient to God every moment of their existence? And the answer is no. Is there anyone that ever has been perfectly obedient to God every moment of his existence? The answer is yes, there is one, and that is Jesus. And so perfect obedience is still required. The error that we see here is that obedience can be accomplished by man. Notice our statement. Having revoked the demands of perfect obedience of faith, regards faith itself and the obedience of faith, although imperfect, as being perfect obedience of the law. So the imperfect obedience or the imperfect faith is all that's required. So where again is salvation? It's in you and your actions rather than in Christ and his perfect obedience in your place. And so we would reject that. As it says, the scriptures clearly say we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We're justified because of what Jesus has done both his death on the cross, but also his life. As he said to John the Baptist, it is required that I fulfill all righteousness, every requirement of God, I must fulfill in your place. And so as Machen said on writing on his deathbed, he said, I thank God for the active obedience of Christ, for there's no hope without it. But with it, I have acceptance before God. When God looks at the believer, what does he see? He sees Jesus. He sees all that Jesus has accomplished, and it's perfect before God. Amen? Amen.